Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. Here are his 10 best movies of 2024.
This week, I would like to talk about the 10 best movies of 2024. I have to say at the outset that I don't think 2024 was an especially good year for movies. In fact, I think it was a fairly weak year for movies. And my 10 best list is sort of overloaded with things that opened up near the end of the year. This is partly because the way that the studios and production companies and distributors work is they like to hold their what they feel will be their most awards-worthy movies until people are actually getting ready to vote on awards. For example, I will soon be voting with the National Society of Film Critics. And of course, the Oscars will be coming up and so forth. So, on the, I think, fairly accurate theory that critics remember things and want to vote for things that they saw recently, a lot of the better films are held till the end of the year. That said, for whatever reason, I've got quite a few movies that are from the later part of 2024 on my list. Most of them are still streaming or are streaming now, so they can be checked out pretty readily. So let's start with number 10. The 10th best movie of 2024, in my opinion, was a movie called Maria by Pablo Larraín. That's the director. Maria has gotten very mixed reviews. A lot of people were not enthusiastic about it. I like it a lot, partly because Angelina Jolie gives a really fine performance in the leading role, and also because it's a movie about high culture. And I don't mean to be a snob here, but since America is so dominated by popular culture these days, I'm always happy when I see a movie that is really about the big stuff. And Maria is a sort of a biopic about the very last days, the sad last days, of the legendary opera singer Maria Callas. And again, Angelina Jolie, I think, gives a very, very fine performance. Interestingly, the vocals, when we hear Callas sing, are a mix of Callas' own voice and Angelina Jolie's voice. I'm not sure why they did that. Would have been very easy for them to simply dub in the real Callas' voice everywhere. But they did, and it all sounds fine to me. I am a pretty active opera goer, so I was happy with this movie about the world of opera. And certainly, anybody interested in Angelina Jolie or in the great culture of the 20th century should definitely check out Maria. I think it's a very good movie. Next film, my number 9 film on my list, is an Italian movie called Vermiglio by Mora Del Perro. And Del Perro has made this very beautiful film. That's its main virtue. It is absolutely gorgeous. And it takes place in the Italian countryside during the middle 1940s when World War II is raging away, but not in this particular rural community. There is a deserter who shows up there and the people harbor this guy. So yeah, the war definitely impinges on this movie, but it is absolutely not a war movie. It's a movie about the relationships among these people. There's a family at the center of the story, and then the soldier comes in and people get together and they get not together and they make up and they break up and various things happen. It's a quiet, gentle drama, and above all, it looks absolutely gorgeous. People have compared it with the work of the old Italian neorealists who tried to bring more realism, more reality into their films back in the 1940s and 50s. The difference is that the Italian neorealists of those days didn't go for sheer visual beauty, and Mora Del Perro definitely goes for that in Vermiglio. It's a gorgeous film to watch, a very quiet, gentle film. I like it a lot. My number 8 film, we now come to America, is the latest movie by Clint Eastwood, Juror Number 2. Yes, Clint is in his 90s, well into his 90s, and he has still directed another movie, and it's a very good movie. It's about a man who is called to serve on jury duty, and he has, it turns out, a very conflicted relationship with this particular case. And that's what the movie's about. I won't give away more than that. I found it a very well-acted movie, a very well-directed movie, a very absorbing movie to watch. And it's a movie about real things in the real contemporary world. So I really do recommend Juror Number 2 by Clint Eastwood. I think it's a very strong, solid movie. Didn't do all that well in the movie theaters, partly because it's distributed and not promoted very actively. But now it's on streaming and it's apparently doing better. So I really recommend it. Good movie, and I'm so glad to see Clint still in there punching away. He's still on the job well into his 90s. Next of all, my documentary on the list. There were a few good documentaries this year. I'll also mention Skywalkers, A Love Story, which is really good. Separated, the latest movie by Errol Morris. These are good movies. But the one I put on my list is Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat by Johann Gimonprez. And this is a film that takes place, well, it takes place, it's a documentary about a period back in the middle of the 20th century. And it turns out that the CIA had a plot to assassinate the Prime Minister of Congo, Patrice Lumumba. And at the same time, America was getting all of these jazz legends. That's why this movie is called Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat. The United States government was recruiting jazz musicians, great giants of jazz, people like Dizzy Gillespie and Louis Armstrong and Nina Simone and others, to be cultural ambassadors to Africa, figuring that African Americans might be good cultural ambassadors to the continent of Africa. As it turns out, they were involved, without knowing it, in this CIA plot to assassinate this African prime minister. So that's what it's about. So the movie is very much about American colonial history, but it's also very much about jazz. I love jazz as well as other forms of music. And this movie has some terrific jazz going along in it. It has some lovely album covers that you see along the way. It has some terrific vintage footage of some of these musicians playing. And also it has this very strong political story dealing with 20th century colonial politics. A good movie, Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat. I recommend it. Number six movie, we're getting near the halfway mark here, is the latest movie by Pedro Almodovar, almost certainly the greatest filmmaker in Spain today. And The Room Next Door is a really, really good movie, starring the great Julianne Moore and the equally great, well, let's just say the whole cast is really terrific. Tilda Swinton is just as great as Moore, and they are absolutely the center of this movie. Now, this film, interestingly, being released during the Christmas and New Year season, is not about a festive subject. It is about a woman who is very, very ill and decides that she wants to commit suicide. She wants to get aid in dying. And so she recruits a very close friend of hers to please come and be in the room next door when this takes place. And the movie is about this proceeding. It is about the two women's friendship. It is about the very conflicted feelings of the woman who agrees to be in the room next door. And it's a very moving, touching drama. And again, it's about real things, about real moral and ethical issues in our current world. I personally am a supporter in Aid to Dying, and this movie is very much about that, directed by Pedro Almodovar, a very beautifully done and above all, superbly acted movie. Next of all, number five, The Apprentice, the new movie by Ali Abbasi. And yes, this is a movie about Donald Trump. It's about the young Donald Trump. So it doesn't get into his political career. It doesn't get into his, all of his machinations and the things he's been up to in recent years. It's about him when he was a young man and when he first acquired his notorious lawyer, Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn, of course, had been a lawyer to Joseph McCarthy during the infamous, notorious commie hunting years, and then he became Donald Trump's lawyer. So a terrific, terrific movie with an excellent performance by Sebastian Stan as Donald Trump, and an even better performance by Jeremy Strong as Roy Cohn. A really good movie. It's not exactly about politics, but if you want to get some idea of where the Donald Trump of today came from, The Apprentice is one way to find out. It's a good, solid, well-acted drama. Next of all, a French movie is really pretty international, but it's by a French director, Jacques Audiard, Emilia Perez. And this movie is such a mashup of genres, and it also has some gender switching going on in it. It is about a man who runs a drug cartel, who decides that he has always really wanted to be a woman, and he really, really, really wants to undergo the full gender transition situation. So he hires a young attorney to help him find the right person to do the surgery, to do all of this stuff for him. And then this young man who runs this, he's not that young, he has a couple of children actually and a wife, who runs this drug cartel then becomes a woman. That is our title character, Emilia Perez. And well, this plot goes on from there. This is a musical. It is a drama. It is a gangland movie. It is a melodrama. It has all these different genres going on with it, even some comedy here and there along the way. I just found it a really exciting movie to watch. It's another movie that is very beautifully acted, that has just all of this stuff going on in it. It's lively. It's musical. It never stops going. So I really recommend it. Emilia Perez, you can find it streaming. It's just an exciting and interesting movie. And, well, it's just really, really quite a piece of work. My number three movie, so we're getting up to the end of my top 10 here, or rather the beginning, Conclave. This is a movie about a conclave that comes together of cardinals in the Roman Catholic Church to select a new pope because the old pope has passed away. This is a movie directed by Edward Berger, and Ralph Fiennes stars as the priest who is in charge of organizing and presiding over this conclave. And obviously, this turns out to be a very complicated situation. They don't simply cast their ballots and, okay, we got a new pope after a few votes. No, no, no. All kinds of stuff is going on. Obviously, there's electioneering. There is manipulation behind the scenes, people trading horses and this and that. And once again, we have a terrific cast going through all this. I won't try to list them all. And the main one is Ralph Fiennes. But it's just a really interesting movie. I will mention Isabel Rossellini, who plays a small but very pivotal role in the whole thing. And at the end of the movie, there's a real surprise ending, which also has to do with gender, and I won't give away any more than that. So again, it's a political movie, but it's not about, you know, the American politics. It's about papal politics. It's about Catholic politics and about the battle, as it sort of is, to run the Roman Catholic Church and be in charge of Catholicism all over the world. So it's all about that, but it's also very much about the horse trading for votes and the manipulations and so forth and so on. I found it a politically fascinating movie. Stanley Tucci, by the way, I will mention him, a really, really strong performance by him. I don't always love his work, but he's great here. And it just has all this stuff going on in it. So I really recommend it. A really dramatic film. Don't be scared away by the religious content, if that would scare you away. It's a really dramatic and interesting, and I found very involving film. The second best movie, in my opinion, of 2024 is Nickel Boys. This is a movie directed by Rommel Ross, not a well-known director, based on the very good novel by Colson Whitehead, and it takes place back in the 1960s, and it is about a young man, a very young man, who is sent off to a sort of a reform school, a penal colony, again, back in the 1960s in the American South. And, well, it turns out to be a pretty horrifying place with all sorts of bad stuff that goes on in there. The discipline is strict. The discipline is ruthless. The discipline is cruel. Even daily life there is anything but pleasant. And this young man is caught up in the middle of all this. And the important thing about Nickel Boys, the movie, is that whereas the novel is a straightforward novel, tells the story from beginning to end, the movie does a lot of jumping around in time and has a very, very unusual style where much of the movie is told through the eyes of the main character, with the camera literally standing in for that young man. Stylistically, I found it adventurous and beautiful. Dramatically, I found it adventurous and powerful. Nickel Boys, a really, really good movie. And finally, the best movie of 2024, in my opinion, is not exactly a movie. It was a miniseries on television. But I just regard nowadays Moving pictures are moving pictures, however they come to us. And in this case, this is a movie that was streaming, is streaming, Ripley, by Steven Zaillian, who directed it. A fabulous movie. This is based on the first of the several five novels about a character named Ripley, written by the great Patricia Highsmith. I've read all the novels, and I really hope that this series continues with dramatizing the other four novels, because this first one is just excellent. Black and white cinematography, absolutely gorgeous, lush, sensual, sensuous, couldn't take my eyes off the screen. Beautifully acted. Andrew Scott is simply superb as the main character, this young man named Ripley. And the story is suspenseful and involving. It's a crime story, and it's about a main character who is not an admirable person, but he's a fascinating person. So I put this on my 10 best list. I've posted this on social media, and some people have said, this isn't a movie, this is television. Well, hey, like I said, moving pictures are moving pictures. Motion pictures are motion pictures. Cinema is cinema. And I think Ripley is the best piece of moving image art that I have seen in 2024. I couldn't recommend it more highly. So that is my story this week, the 10 best films of 2024. Ripley is the best of them all. All of them are recommended. Happy viewing, everybody.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films and Focus, with his 10 best movies of 2024.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.